along the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Hey, Ken! Come on out here in the ice. Let's get some practice. Hey, Ken, did you hear me? Take off that overcoat and get going.
Go on and play by yourself. It's too cold for hockey today. Ooh, I'm almost freezing. And I'm going home the minute I get these skates off.
And you were the guy who was going to show me what a good hockey player you are. Why, you don't even know how to keep warm in cold weather. Hey, listen, Ken. Did you have any breakfast this morning?
No, I was in too much of a hurry. Promised you I'd meet you here at 8:30, so I skipped breakfast. Besides, I don't like the kind of breakfast my mother gives me in the cold weather.
No breakfast, huh? Now, maybe that's the reason why you're feeling cold. Don't you know a hockey player needs a good breakfast in the morning? Now, why don't you eat Wheaties like I do? A good big bowl of Wheaties with some milk and fruit.
Well, what do you mean, Wheaties? That's the kind of breakfast dish you eat in the summer. My mother says I need a hot breakfast in the wintertime.
Hi there, fellas. Did I hear somebody arguing about breakfast?
I'll say you did. Ken here says you gotta have a hot breakfast in winter. And I tell him you can go right on eating a dish like Wheaties if you want to. Who's right?
You are, 100%. Wheaties are just as good as a hot cooked breakfast dish for helping to keep you warm. You see, a large serving of Wheaties hands you a big supply of fuel energy units.
What are fuel energy units, anyway?
Well, they're a kind of nourishment you burn up in your body, just like a furnace burns up other kind of fuel. As long as your breakfast gives you enough of these fuel energy units, it doesn't matter whether you take that breakfast right out of the package or heat it on the stove. The heat of cooking doesn't count for a thing.
But listen, you can feel the heat in a hot-cooked dish.
Sure you can. But that kind of heat disappears in practically no time. Now, what you really want in cold weather is a breakfast like Wheaties, one that's rich in fuel energy units along with other kinds of nourishment an athlete needs.
I'll bet that's it, Ken. If you eat Wheaties like I do, you won't mind the cold so much. Come on over to my house and we'll have some Wheaties now.
Okay, fellas, and I can promise you that you're going to have a swell meal. I wish every fellow and girl in America could know what a real champion winter training dish Wheaties are. And you're mighty lucky to get all the Wheaties you want this time of year. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Jack and Uncle Jim have just salvaged the precious uranium-235 from Professor Loring's sunken yacht off a submerged reef in the Sulu Sea. With the help of Billy, Betty, and the Filipino Michelle, they have hoisted the heavy box to the deck of the Spindrift, which is anchored above the sunken yacht. Jack is lashing the valuable box to the deck cleats, and Uncle Jim and the others are anxiously watching the approach of the power schooner Black Shark. On board the Black Shark, a Chapato and Blackbeard and others of their crew have been following Uncle Jim to steal the precious uranium. And now, while the shimmering horizon of the Sulu Sea shows no sign, no help in sight, the crew of the Spindrift is about to up anchor and sail away from the submerged reef. Listen.
There, Uncle Jim. The box of uranium is all lashed down on deck.
We may have to cut those lashings in a hurry, Jack. If the Black Shark tries to board us, that uranium goes overboard the instant they set foot on our deck.
But what are we going to do now, Uncle Jim? The Black Shark's getting terribly close.
We're going to hoist sail and leave this submerged reef, Betty. We'll try and prevent them from boarding us if we possibly can.
Uncle Jim, I have a corking idea, if it'll work.
What is it, Jack?
Most of this submerged reef comes to within 3 or 4 feet of the surface. But this stretch here, where we cut across the reef, has about 7 feet of water over it. We know we can cross the reef there because we've done it.
But jumping crickets, Jack, we're already across the reef.
Yeah, of course we are, Billy. My idea is to go back to the other side of the reef and cross it again.
But what good will that do, Jack?
Here's the idea, Billy. We can cross this stretch of reef, but the Black Shark can't. She draws too much water. She'll pile up if she tries to.
Well, I follow you, Jack.
Jiminy, I don't follow you. What's the rest of your plan?
Listen, Billy. We'll cut across the reef now and go back to meet the Black Shark.
Holy smoke, you're going back to meet the Black Shark?
That's just what we'll do. But when we get halfway to her, we'll pretend to change our mind. We'll turn around and sail away from it.
Oh,
we'll...
I see, Jack. We'll sail back to this reef. They'll chase us. We'll sail across the reef, and they'll hit the reef.
That's it exactly, Betty. They don't know where the reef is. You can't see it until you're almost to it. And they'll think there's deep water here because they'll see us sailing right on through the reef.
Jumping crickets, that's a crackerjack idea. Do you think it'll work, Uncle Jim?
It's certainly worth a try, Billy. We know we can't escape the black shark under sail.
But when we come back to the reef, how will we know the exact spot to sail across it, Jack?
Well, we'll drop a buoy of some sort overboard to mark it, Betty. Then we'll sail back on our original compass course until we see the marker.
Well, come on. What are we waiting for? The black shark is coming right along.
We'll leave our stern anchor here to hold the marker in place. Billy, make a life preserver fast to the stern anchor line and throw it overboard, line and off. Jack, you and Michelle hoist the mainsail, and we'll swing to our bow anchor.
Come on, Michelle. Let's get that mainsail up.
Si, senor.
The sail's already out of stop, Michelle. I'll take the throw halyard. You take the peak. Ready?
Me ready, senor Jack.
Then up we go. Haul away.
That very smart idea you have, Senor Jack. We fooled you, Bato, huh? We no let him catch me.
We won't let him catch anybody, Michelle. And he won't get the uranium either. He'll be stuck high and dry on this reef while we're sailing away.
We got hurry, huh? Black shark not far away.
We'll just about have time, Michelle. There, the throat's high enough. Hoist the peak a little higher. Attaboy. Now make your halyard fast.
The life preserver is made fast and it's overboard, Uncle Jim. It makes a swell marker.
That's fine, Billy. Now you and Michelle hoist the foresail. Betty, you hoist the jib. Jack, you lend me a hand with the bow anchor. We'll get it up and get underway.
I hope this anchor isn't fouled on the coral reef, Uncle Jim.
If it is, we'll cut the line and let her stay there, Jack. The black shark's getting pretty close.
Yeah, we'll soon see if she's fouled. All set, Uncle Jim?
All set, Jack. Lay hold.
Heave. She's coming, Uncle Jim. She broke bottom.
Keep on pulling, Jack. Yo-ho, heave, ho.
Get up, Uncle Jim. We're underway. We're moving. I'll go back and hold the wheel.
The boat will come up. I'll help with the anchor.
Me help me back too, huh?
There. She's broken water. She's almost up. Everyone lay hold and we'll haul the anchor on deck. Lay hold.
Hey, Uncle Jim.
Now I'll go back and take the wheel from Betty, Jack. You and Billy trim in those sheets. Michelle, you stay here and lash down the anchor.
Sheet, Officer Betty, Bill.
I'll take the foresheet, Jack. You trim in the main sheet.
Okay, Billy. How fat do you want him trimmed, Uncle Jim?
Trim an easy sheet, Jack. The wind will be dead abeam when we head back for the black shark.
How's this, Uncle Jim?
A little more, Jack. There. That's just about right. Stand by. I'm going to come about. Look sharp, Jack. We're about to cut across the reef. See that we've got enough water under us.
This is the right place, Uncle Jim. We've got about 7 feet under us.
I hope you've guessed right, Jack. We don't want to be stuck now.
We're all right, Billy. See, we're over the shallowest part now. I'll bet we've got a good foot to spare.
I'm going to head right for the black shark, Jack. Pick an accurate compass reading for me.
Okay, Uncle Jim. We're heading exactly north 1/2 east.
Remember that, Jack. When we turn around and start back, we want to bear south 1/2 west.
Well, aye, sir.
Well, how will you know when to turn around, Uncle Jim? We don't want the black shark to catch up with us before we get back to the reef.
It won't be long before we turn back, Billy. The black shark's making close to 10 knots through the water now. We're only making 4 knots in this light breeze, so she'll be overtaking us at the rate of 6 knots, or about 7 land miles an hour.
Suppose we can't pick up the marker when we hit the reef, Uncle Jim?
We've got to pick up that marker, Betty. If we don't, we'll pile up on the reef ourselves. That reef's a mile long, and most of it's very close to the surface.
But I can't see the marker at this distance.
I see it, Betty. But I wouldn't see it if I didn't know what it was.
Well, that's good. We don't want it to be too plain. If the black shark saw it in time, they'd smell him out. They wouldn't follow us.
But they'll know there's a reef there anyway, Jack. They could see us through their binoculars and see that we were diving for the uranium.
But they won't know how deep the water is over the reef, Betty. They'll think they're safe if they follow us.
Hand me the binoculars, Jack. Let's see what's going on aboard the black shark.
Here they are, Billy. I'll bet you Beto and Blackbeard are wondering why we're heading towards them.
Well, what are they doing, Billy? Can you see?
There's someone at the bow watching us through his binoculars, Betty. Great guns, but the black shark is moving right along. You ought to see that bone in her teeth.
Let's fly the jib sheet, Jack. It's time for us to come about and start back.
Aye, aye, Uncle Jim. She's free.
Finally, we're coming about. All right, Jack. Trim in your main sheet.
Oh, I hope we're heading back in the right direction.
We are, Betty. Our course is south 1/2 west, plus a quarter point for drift to leeward.
Jack, if they don't follow us over the reef, if they don't get stuck on the reef themselves, they'll board us just like pirates.
Now, look at Michelle. He's keeping calm. And if Geppetto catches him, there's no telling what they won't do to him.
Oh, Betty's not feeling calm. How are you, Michelle?
Me trust Senor Jack. Me trust Senor Uncle Jim. They very smart man. They fool Geppetto. They don't let Chipato catch me.
That's a talking, Michelle. You saved Jack and Uncle Jim from the shark, and now we'll save you from Chipato.
But the black shark will catch us before we get back to the reef. She's getting so close. I can see everyone aboard her.
There's one thing I'm certain of, Betty. I'm certain that as long as this breeze holds, we'll get to the reef before the black shark does.
Can you see the marker now, Jack? I can't see a sign of it.
We won't see it until we're almost there, Betty. Hand me the glasses, Billy. I'll see if I can pick it up.
Okay, here you are, Jack. Gee, I hope we'll be able to find it when we get there.
I can see it now, Billy. We're heading just right, Uncle Jim.
That's fine, Jack. We'll be to the reef in just a moment now.
Suppose the black shark does hit the reef, Uncle Jim. Suppose they have to take to their boats. Will the crew be in any danger?
They won't be in a bit of danger in this calm sea, Billy. They can get to one of the islands in their lifeboats with no trouble at all.
They got one lifeboat with engine, Captain Fairfield.
Then we surely won't have to worry about their safety, Billy. Look sharp now, everybody. We're getting close to the reef.
Well, I'll see we are. Well, I can see the marker. See it, Betty? Just off the starboard bow.
We want to hit the reef about 100 yards to the left of that marker, Billy. We're headed straight for the right place.
It's getting shallow, Uncle Jim. I can see bottom now.
Don't be alarmed, Betty. We know there's enough water for us at this point.
If there's not, we'll soon find it out. We're almost to the reef.
We're passing over it, Billy. See? It's getting deep again.
And the black shark is right behind us. Look, I can see Blackbeard at the bow.
And there's Geppetto with him. And Lazaro, too.
They're worried about something. They know there's a reef here somewhere.
They keep coming much longer, Jack. We've done the trick.
Wouldn't you think they'd have the sense to slow down, Uncle Jim? At the speed they're going, it'll take them a long time to stop.
And it won't do them any good just to turn. They'd hit another part of the reef.
They're so intent on catching us, they aren't paying much attention to the reef, Billy. They think it's safe enough to follow us.
Look, Uncle Jim, Blackbeard sees the reef. He's pointing it out to Chipato.
Why, they signal full speed reverse. Look at the water churn up at their stern.
They'll never be able to stop in time now.
Shark has lifted high up out of the water.
They've come halfway across the reef, Billy. Look, Uncle Jim, they'll never be able to get off.
It wouldn't do them any good to get off, Jack. The bottom of the black shark must be ripped from stem to stern. If she slid off the reef, she'd sink like a stone.
Are they in any danger, Uncle Jim?
Not a bit, Betty. They can take to their lifeboats and get to safety anytime they want to. But take a good look at the black shark, all of you. You've seen the last of her. The next typhoon will wash her down to the bottom of the ocean.
That's where she ought to have been long ago, Uncle Jim. And now, what next?
We're going to Mindanao, Jack. We're going to stop by at Zamboanga to deposit this uranium with the U.S. Army at Pettit Barracks. And then, we're going into Mindanao to find Professor Loring and the White Sultan of Mindanao.
And so, while the crew of the Black Shark are taking to their lifeboats, Jack and the others are sailing for Mindanao. Half of their task is done, but a still harder task lies ahead. They must find the missing Professor Loring, held captive by some Moro tribe in the interior of Mindanao. And they must find out something about the legendary White Sultan of Mindanao and locate those rich deposits of uranium that lie in the interior. Impenetrable swamps, trackless jungles, hostile Moros all lie in their path. Strange adventures await them. And you won't want to miss a single exciting episode of all this. So listen in, all of you, at this same time next Monday for the first of a series of thrilling adventures in Mindanao, the wild island of the fierce Moros, with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Now, be sure you've got plenty of Wheaties to last you over the weekend. You'll want them for breakfast in the morning and for a quick lunch anytime you get hungry. Ask Mother right now to order the big orange and blue package with the two famous General Mills trademarks, Wheaties and Breakfast of Champions.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran.
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye till Monday for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
So just buy Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the